Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast. Although that might not be our name for much longer. We do have something in the works, but we will keep that under wraps just for the meantime. It's good to be back. It's also been very uneventful in terms of races. We've got like the longest break ever. It feels like the summer break again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't quite understand it. Obviously, we've got three races back to back after, well, from Austin.
Yep.
But it just feels weird because we had the summer break. We come back. You get into the routine again of having races. And then it's like, actually, we're going to stop for about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, now it feels like we've got another summer break. Yeah. So it is making Saturdays and Sundays a little worse. But there is still a lot going on in the F1 world, as always. So make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Do people still call it Twitter? Or is it X now?
I still call it Twitter, but I'm old.
I feel like if you're under a certain age, you'll start calling it X. But I feel like for us, it's always going to be Twitter. But yeah, just search Racecast and you'll find us. Obviously, wherever you're listening to us on, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, do give us a 5-star rating because it really does make a difference. And yeah, I think the best place to get involved is probably TikTok and Instagram. Yeah. That's where we're most active. So yeah, we're going to crack on. No, there's no more bullshit to dive into.
No. But I've got quite a bit of news to dissect and go through. Firstly, I've got a quick question for you. Where were you Sunday morning for our 5K run? I'm saying that. We've done it once, and now it seems like it should be a routine.
Well, firstly, I set my PB on Saturday.
Congratulations.
New PB. Did not feel good. Did not feel healthy. But I did it, and it was a constant battle with my head to just not stop. Got to like 3K, and I was like, you could just stop here. And then I got to 4K, and I was like, well, that's probably enough.
It's hard, isn't it? Because
obviously,
I'm new to running this year. Started in May. It is the mental side is the most challenging thing, I think. Because you get to, as you say, 2-3K, and you're like, okay, I just want to give up now. And normally, I'll be like, okay, I've done 2-3K, it's better than nothing, I'll give up. But it's pushing yourself, isn't it, to go further and further?
Yeah, I think it's your body always tells you, like, oh, you can't do it.
Yeah.
And I think the second you start pushing through it, you realise, actually, I can. Like, I think it's easier now for me to push through those because I'm like, I know I can carry on. It's not a case of, like, it's not new territory. Yeah. I know it's really hard and it's difficult, but I know I can carry on. As for Sunday morning, I was hungover in bed. I didn't wake up until 10 o'clock, so...
Doesn't surprise me.
That's where I was.
You joining me this Sunday morning?
Maybe. Not 100%. I mean, I've got...
God.
Obviously, football training. Football match on Saturday.
Oh, you know.
I don't think I'm out this weekend, though, so... I shouldn't be hungover.
Well, let me know. But guys, if you're into running, let us know. And what's your personal best for your 5K? I'm quite interested. Right, let's get into some F1 news, shall we? So, Renault have confirmed it will not build power units for the new regulations in 2026. So, firstly, what team will that affect?
Alpine.
Well done.
but will it affect them negatively? Because the rumours are suggesting that they're going to go to Mercedes.
Okay, do you just want to continue this?
I can just see the reflection in your eyes. So... that, to me, is like Alpine are probably thinking, well, that's a win. Because, you know, Mercedes historically have, and I say historically, yeah, historically, have produced very good engines. Yeah. There were all the rumours floating around that come 2026, they're actually way ahead in engine development. So I'm sure Alpine are probably rubbing their hands together at this. Renault haven't produced a good engine for quite a while.
A long time.
Yeah, so, you know, Alpine have been falling backwards. At one point, they were third, fourth fastest team. I'm looking back a little bit, you know, when they were head-to-head with McLaren. And now look where McLaren are.
Well, that was only a couple of seasons ago.
It wasn't that long
ago. That's
the
mad thing about it. But no, McLaren have, you know, gone on to do wonders.
And I also know that's not completely down to engine, but at this point, they'll probably take anything that is going to give them a little bit more speed.
But like you say, there is reports and strong reports that Mercedes engine is looking very strong ahead of the new regulations for 2026. So if you are Alpine and, you know, Renault come to you and go, look, lads, we're not going to continue with you. Oh, no, that sounds awful. Who should we try and go with? Ah, Mercedes, can we, you know, come with you?
I bet they tried to get them out of that building ASAP just in case they changed their minds.
Oh, no, honestly, anything we can do? No, honestly, thank you so much for your time. Thanks. Yeah. No, honestly, thank you very much.
Straight on the phone to Toto.
I just, it'd be interesting to see because obviously Williams and Mercedes.
Yep. Mercedes and Mercedes.
Are they? Interesting, yeah. That. Interesting. But I think there's going to be a lot more competition in 2026, a lot more than we're anticipating.
Well, I mean, you've actually got quite a lot of Mercedes-powered cars.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got Alpine, half the grid are going to be Mercedes-powered.
Yeah.
Williams, Aston, the other one.
Mercedes.
McLaren and Alpine.
Yeah. That's a lot. It's half the grid.
It is.
It is. I'm interested to see how that pans out. But I'm more interested to see how next season goes.
Do we actually have any idea why Renault have dropped out?
No. It hasn't said.
It's got to be just a performance-related thing. They must be looking at it and thinking, like, what is the point, boys?
We're wasting all this time.
Yeah,
time. It's cut our losses.
Money.
Yeah.
You know, just call it a day. Maybe they thought they'd be able to get back to their heyday, which was all of two seasons, but...
Fernando Alonso era, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want to start off by saying, okay, Liam Lawson has been getting so much stick the last week since it was announced that he is going to be replacing Daniel Ricciardo at RB.
Well, like it was his choice.
Yeah, but this is what the mad thing is. It's not his, he didn't decide. He was like, come on, give me a seat. Get rid of Danny Ric. That didn't happen. Danny Ric caused himself to lose his seat.
Yeah, okay. He didn't step up to the levels that were required of him.
So, you know, there's been a lot of stick about him. I do feel quite sorry for Liam Lawson. But I'm interested to one... And I wonder why, and I wonder if you can tell me this. Why has he only been given 6 races?
Well...
there's no... I'm assuming there's something in his contract to say, look, after 6 races, if you perform, we'll give you a seat for next year. But there's no confirmation that he's confirmed for next year.
That is interesting. I don't really know. I think he is confirmed, if that makes sense. I know he's not officially confirmed, but I'd be very surprised if Liam Lawson is not driving that RB next season. But that obviously, I don't know if you've read, Christian Horner has come out and said that actually Helmut Marko wanted to give Liam Lawson the seat in.
Are you having a laugh?
Did I just...
Are you literally ruining every piece of news I'm telling you?
It's all up here. I've got everything.
You're spot on.
But so he wanted to get rid of Danny Ric in Barcelona.
Yeah.
Because the performance levels were clearly just not there. So Red Bull did want to give him longer in that car. I think it's almost guaranteed that he'll be in that seat next season. I think regardless of how he performs over the next 6 races, I think unless he's like Mazepin level bad,
yeah,
then that's the only way he wouldn't get the seat. But I'm pretty sure it's... Maybe they haven't confirmed it because they're actually considering putting him in the Red Bull. Bet you never thought of that.
That is a good shout.
And I know Perez has been confirmed, but...
Did you see his tweet?
Yeah, about him. Because there were rumours about Sergio Perez retiring. He's not, apparently.
He did a tweet, which if you watched The Wolf of Wall Street, he's like, I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving.
He should. But here's the thing, right? Red Bull have confirmed Checo for next year.
Yep.
However, it was also mentioned in this sort of Horner-Helmut Marko story that they did also consider swapping Danny Ric and Checo, but that was purely dependent on Danny Ric's performances, and he didn't live up to that. So I think what you need to consider is that they will still consider that with Tsunoda, but more likely Liam Lawson.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I can't tell you why, but I think it's kind of common knowledge it would be more likely Liam Lawson that gets the Red Bull seat over to Tsunoda.
Yeah.
So I don't think Checo's seat is safe for next year, and I think maybe that's why they haven't officially confirmed Lawson for next year.
That's a good way of looking at it. Would you like me to read what actually Horner did say?
Yeah.
So Christian Horner confirms Helmut Marko originally wanted to replace Daniel Ricciardo after Barcelona. He went on to say, I mean, he started the season roughly, and then Miami, a weekend of two halves. The Friday and Saturday morning was fantastic, but then the Saturday afternoon and the Sunday were disastrous.
Which, just to confirm, they're the ones that count.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good. You had a good, you know, good qualifying and a good, you know, sprint race, but you know, the rest of it was pretty crap. Qualifying and the actual race was pretty crap. And even around Barcelona, Helmut wanted him out of the car, and there was already a lot of pressure on him there. I've done my very best to buy him as much time in the car to allow him to deliver. Otherwise, he would have been out of the car after Barcelona. And then obviously, as Checo lost form, Daniel found a bit of form, but it was never compelling enough to say, okay, you know, we should switch the two drivers.
And that's the important point that I was on about. That's where it was like, okay, that establishes that there always was that possibility that the second Red Bull seat is up for grabs. And that's where I think Liam Lawson could, if he comes in these last six races, absolutely nails it, wipes the floor with Yuki, then I would be surprised if we don't see Liam Lawson in that second Red Bull seat next season with Sergio Perez dropping to the RB.
I can see it. I really can see it. One thing I want to ask about this. We know with Red Bull at the moment, they're in a bit of turmoil. You know, they're losing big names.
Yeah. Well, they've lost the biggest name.
In Adrian Newey. But they're losing other big members from the team.
Yeah.
This type of comment from Horner, you know, saying, oh, well, Marko wanted him out of, you know, the seat in Barcelona. It seems like a bit of a lot of information to give out about one of your colleagues. Does that make sense? It seems a bit like, you know, oh, well, Helmut wanted him out ages ago. Helmut never liked him. He wanted him out in Barcelona, but we wanted to actually make sure. So it's kind of like throwing Helmut Marko a bit under the bus.
Yeah, but I don't think Helmut Marko is the sort of guy that would keep that thing under wraps anyway. I feel like he's the sort of bloke that would come out and be like, well, I wanted him gone in.
I never wanted
whenever
him.
It was like April anyway or whatever. So I don't.
Do you see what I mean?
I see what you mean, but I kind of like appreciate the honesty. Yeah. And you know, ultimately, right, that's more a negative reflection on Christian Horner than it is Helmut Marko, because
100%.
Horner put his personal relationships with someone ahead of the team's best interest, right? We knew from day one that Danny Ric was not the driver that he once was or was once purported to be. So we could never understand why he got that seat over Liam Lawson anyway. Sort of fresh young blood coming through, hungry, had already proven, not once Danny Ric officially got the seat, but obviously he broke his hand pretty quick. He had then proven that actually he was quite a driver and they could have made the change for this season. But Christian Horner put his loyalties ahead of the team's best interest. And ultimately, I mean, look where it's ended up. And we obviously, I think we're gutted to lose Danny Ric in the sense that he was one of the greatest personalities on the grid.
100%.
Always smiling, always having a joke. Like the drivers love him. He carries that air of nostalgia with him. But it's an elite sport. Like if you're not performing at those levels, you've got to go. And he should have gone a long time ago. You know, I think he was lucky to stay at McLaren as long as he did.
Yeah, no.
And then the fact that another team then decided to pick him up after that, okay, albeit a team that he has personal links with, I still find it all strange.
The only thing about this whole Daniel Ricciardo situation, which I really don't like, is how RB dealt with the announcement. And I know it's come out afterwards, after the Singapore Grand Prix, that they've announced that he's left and he'd be replaced by Liam Lawson. And the reason why they couldn't announce it before, because they had sponsorship agreements, and that's why it couldn't be announced and all of this stuff. But I disagree.
What does that even mean?
I know, and this is why I think it's just a very PR thing. But one thing I really struggle with is actually this guy has given so much of his life to the sport. As you said, he's a cracking personality. He's great for the sport. Every time you see him, all his interviews, I mean, apart from some of the sad ones, but he's always upbeat. He's always positive. He brings some great energy. This guy deserved a better send-off. He deserved that weekend to just be about him, going that actually we won't see him back in the sport again. I can't see that happening.
No, Daddy Rick will never drive an F1 car again unless it's at like Goodwood.
So I feel like they've robbed him from a proper send-off, which this guy fully deserved. He fully deserved a proper send-off in the sense of, this is my last race in F1. Made the weekend, I don't say, you know, all about him, but this is a guy who's given so much of his time and so much dedication to this sport. We should have been celebrating that and not having that whole weekend of going, is he going? Is he not? It looks like he's going. He looks sad. Is he going? I don't know. Oh, yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, now I agree with that take. I think it was all a little bit cold and it made everything a little bit awkward for him.
I think it's poor, personally.
But there was a flip side argument that I saw on Twitter. Danny Rick has netted, roughly, I think, in his career, about 150 million. That's a significant amount of money, right? Yeah. That's nine figures,
yeah.
Which is generational wealth. So the argument was, I think Red Bull have done enough for his career.
Yeah, okay. And
enough for him to enable everyone to not be upset about what his send-off was. You know, ultimately, he's going to receive another, I'm sure, pay packet for being kicked out of a seat early.
Yeah.
He received an incredible pay packet from
McLaren.
He was well paid by Renault. He was well paid by Red Bull. He was also offered more money to stay at Red Bull when he wanted to leave Red Bull to go to Renault.
Mm.
He then, obviously, then going back the other way after McLaren, when he completely bummed out, he got given a lifeline by Red Bull and given the opportunity to be their reserve driver, knowing full well that there was a genuine opportunity to take that second seat at Red Bull for someone who, let's be honest, whether you love him or not, didn't deserve that opportunity.
No.
Off the back of that, he then actually gets given a drive in the sister team again when they've got someone young, hungry, fresh, ready to go for them. So I get the frustration around the send-off, but let's not ignore the fact that Red Bull have done everything for this man, and they are the reason he is where he is now.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you on any of that point. It's my only point was, it'd be nice for the fans to properly give him a
It would have been good for the fans to be able to say goodbye.
But I get your point. Let us know what your thoughts are on that one. Right. This one may trigger a few people. Okay. It triggered me when I read it. So David Coulthard on Lando Norris's win in Singapore. He said, what a performance. Human and machine in perfect harmony. Well, not really. He almost binned it in the wall a couple of times.
He did.
Lando is so humble and so approachable. He doesn't realise how great and significant his performances are right now. I want to put him in a sort of Senna, Schumacher, Hamilton at his best type of performances. We can all win Grand Prix by getting a bit of lucky, but this was exceptional.
That's a really bum take. And I'll tell you why. List the people that he's put him on a level with.
Ayrton Senna, Michael Schumacher.
Yeah, okay. So
Lewis Hamilton.
So Senna's a four-time world champion? Two-time.
Yeah.
Two-time world champion, but obviously died early.
Yeah.
Michael Schumacher is a seven-time world champion. Widely regarded or hotly contested as the greatest of all time. alongside the other name that was mentioned, which was Lewis Hamilton, who's on the flip side of the Schumacher argument. Who else was on there?
Lewis Hamilton.
Well, yeah, I just said Lewis. Was that the three drivers?
That was
Senna,
three.
Schumacher, and Lewis, right? Yep. Let's be real here, right? Lando has done absolutely nothing to prove that, okay? It took him a very, very long time to win a race in F1. Now, we all know that you need the car as well as the driver. Now, Lando didn't have the car for a very long time.
Yeah.
We can't take that away from him. Once he got the car, did take him a little bit to get a win. And now he has truly got the car. I feel he's just been too inconsistent.
Mm.
He should have more wins under the belt. And maybe this is a backhanded compliment because I expect more from Lando. You know, I expected him to win at Monza.
Mm.
I expected him to win at Silverstone. And I fully expected him to win at Hungary. Like, before all the drama of... I fully expected him to be able to close that gap on Oscar and overtake him. But he couldn't. So... to put him in that category of drivers at this stage of his career, when he's won three races
now,
is literally ridiculous.
No, and I agree. With regards to Lando Norris is an exceptional driver, but putting him in the same category as those three drivers is just criminal. He hasn't warranted the same title as...
It's like putting me on the level of Messi because I had a great game on Saturday. Lando, and we praised his win last week.
Yeah, 100%.
We said that was a great drive. That was a champion's drive.
Mm.
He dominated it, controlled it. Okay, he almost put it in the wall, but like...
twice.
You know, it's a hard track.
But...
ultimately, he commanded the race from start to finish. When he was told he needs to pick up the pace, he did that and he dropped a huge gap on Max. So he brought the car home, doesn't matter what happened in between, with a huge gap, fair play. Now let's see that continue, right? To put him on the level of those guys, he needs performances like that consistently for a good number of years.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
If Lando races like that for the next 2-3 years, right? You know, you don't have to win every race. I'm not saying that. But if he's dropping those regularly, fair enough. Then you can't argue with a point like that.
It's the consistency part, isn't it?
That's the fact that he's won three races. That's such an obscene comparison. You know, Lewis Hamilton has won, what, 104 races, something silly like that.
Ridiculous amount, yeah.
It's Michael Schumacher won, I'm pretty sure it's in the 70s, the amount of races. Ayrton Senna is a lot of these drivers' heroes.
Mm.
So it's mental. I don't know whether he's saying that to sort of
get
his name out there a little bit.
Well, I think he's definitely triggered a few people. Because it was some of the comments were...
but like, surely he can't even believe that. Genuinely, he can't.
This is David Coulthard. Who knows? Some of the stuff that comes out is just mental. But let us know what your thoughts are on that, because I found it quite an interesting take. Other news. The Argentine government is exploring the possibility of once again hosting a Grand Prix with a surge in popularity following Franco Colapinto's debut.
Oh, interesting.
So apparently... it's been discussed that they would like to bring a race back to the country. However, one major obstacle is that the circuit has fallen into disrepair, and this requires about $20 million to bring it back into FIA Grade 2 status for it to host a Grand Prix. It would need to be improved to FIA Grade 1 status, with investment being needed.
You struggled with that one.
I did, yeah, I did. What's your thoughts on that? Because we discussed Colapinto coming back in, and we said it's obviously great for the sport, having a different nationality come into the grid.
And South Americans are like the most passionate fans. Yeah. So, I mean, you see that when we go to Brazil and stuff like that. So, No, I think it's great. Bringing Argentina into to the mix is quality. And I think racing there, well, that would also be sick.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I don't talk shit about the oil money states that we seemingly get a lot of races in nowadays. They seem to be the new tracks that come through, because some of the tracks I actually really like. I've openly said many times Bahrain is one of my favorite tracks.
Yeah, you love that track, don't
yeah
you?
It's an easy top three for me. But I think going to these countries with like really passionate fans would be great. And somewhere like Argentina, especially if they've got a driver on the grid,
yeah,
that races under that flag, would be quality.
I think the investment is worth it if you've got someone on the grid. Obviously, we don't know what's happening with Colapinto next year. You know, he's still heavily linked with the Sauber team. But, you know, even further reports coming out that actually looks like they're going to potentially stick with Bottas. We don't know what's happening with that situation at the moment. But I agree, having a new, you know, driver on the grid from a different nationality, it's just great. It brings in more spectators. As you say, they're passionate. That side of racing, you know, look at Brazil. They're so passionate, aren't they? And it'd just be great for the sport. So I'm interested, but again, it needs a lot of investment. So investment.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, but I don't want to seem like out of touch here, because I know like $20 million is a lot of money to me. But is it to like who would be invested? Surely the government. I know they've got like financial problems in Argentina, as in the government.
I'm sure there's some like billionaire
$20 million, like to some people that is pocket change. And I think all it takes is like an Argentinian company to come in and be like, yeah, we'll sponsor that, you know, make us like the headline sponsor, we'll pay 20 mil.
Yeah
Fine. Great. They'll see the returns off it, because you see how much money F1 generates nowadays. And especially if you've got an Argentinian driver confirmed on the grid, yeah, like that place is... Yeah. I mean, it would sell out regardless. Do you know what I mean? Like whether Colapinto is racing or not. If you're racing there, it would sell out pretty much like it does everywhere else in the world. So I can't understand why no one's jumping on this.
No. It'd be interesting. We'll see how that goes over the next couple of years. But I'm intrigued. I think it'd be decent. Going back to what we were saying about Lando Norris earlier, have you heard the news that apparently he's got his own stand at Silverstone?
His own stand?
Yeah. The Lando Norris stand for next year.
The bar is so low now. Like,
let me see if I can get it up. Lando...
Even he must feel a little bit like, that's a lot, isn't it? Like, and this probably sounds like we're really hating on Lando. I'm not at all. I genuinely think he could go on to win the world championship next season. I think this season's a little bit hard.
So the official Lando Norris grandstand. Lando has joined forces with Silverstone for the 2025 British Grand Prix to host his first ever Lando stand. He'll be taking over the Stowe corner, giving fans prime viewing opportunity as he races down Hangar Straight.
Is this just like a temporary thing?
I don't know. But what's included, okay? So you get a 3-day reserve seat in the Lando stand, grandstand at Stowe's Corner, or the standing area from the front of the grandstand. Exclusive Lando stand t-shirt and fan pack. That's worth going for. Weekend entertainment, events with visits from Lando. There you go. And opportunities to win daily paddock tours, backstage concerts, access, pit walks and more.
Okay, this all I'm going to say is this.
There he is. That's where it is.
Yeah, this sounds more commercial than anything else. It's not like the Alex Ferguson stand at United, where it's just like, wow, this has been named in his honour. And that's not a problem. Like,
but if it does well, I can't imagine they're going to take that away, are they?
Well, no, yeah, but it's commercial. My point is, he's probably paid for this, knowing that he can make money off it. And that's fine. Like, he's Lando Norris, in quotations, is a business. But I think at this stage of his career, renaming a stand after him would be absolutely nuts. And I think he would think the same here. So but I just want to squash, like, if anyone's thinking, like, why have they named a stand after him? This, to me, seems like a commercial opportunity. Thing. And that, I respect.
Let us know if you're actually going. If you've actually already bought tickets for the Lando stand, do let us know. So, Sergio Perez was spoken to about his career and, you know, how long he's got in F1. And he's come out and he said, I don't see myself much longer in F1.
Oh, he actually said that?
Yep. For now, I have 2 more years on my contract and 2 years in F1 is a long time, but I know the end is getting closer and closer. I want to finish my career when I want to and not when someone tells me. So this is an interesting one.
If I was him, I'd retire at the end of this season then. Because I feel like that's the only way he's going to be able to avoid that.
Okay, if you're Sergio Perez, right, you've got 2 years left in your contract at Red Bull. What's your best outcome is actually you finish with Red Bull in those 2 years.
Yeah.
The likelihood is that's not going to happen. So do you retire when you leave Red Bull and say, look, it's a mutual decision, I'm going to retire? Or do you still go, actually, I still think I can race in F1. I might go to a different team. But where do you go? Where does he go?
No one takes Sergio Perez at this point in time. No team takes him. And I think that's a fair assessment. You know, I've always said Checo has been a solid F1 driver for the vast majority of his career. But this season and the previous season, I think, take the cake a little bit. And I know he won 2 races last season. He got second in the
fastest
championship.
Car.
But yeah, it was in the car that was so much quicker than anyone else. And you've got to remember, he almost lost that second place to Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
In that peak Mercedes, which was shit. So, and then this season has really, truly been shocking. And okay, the Red Bull has had a little bit more issues this season, but Max Verstappen is still P1 in the championship.
Yeah.
You know, Sergio Perez could be sitting in that P3. I don't think it's fair to say he should be ahead of Lando at this point, but he could still be in that P3 position. But he just simply hasn't performed. He's been out in Q1 too many times. He's been out in Q2 too many times. And then he's underperformed in Q3 too many times. So I think he's right to acknowledge that the end is near. Mm. His performances represent that pretty clearly.
Yeah.
I, personally, if I was him, which might be easier said than done, because, you know, he obviously loves the sport, he loves his job. I'm sure he makes a very handsome amount of money.
Yeah.
But the level of dignity where I'd be like, right, let's bow out. This has been a poor season. Last season was pretty poor. And fair enough, if he wants to shout about getting P2 in the championship last season and use that as an excuse, then that's fine, but at least be real with yourself and accept that you weren't good enough last season. You really haven't been good enough this season, and you could call it a day.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, a little quiz for you.
Okay, let me just get my water quick. You carry on.
Okay, so obviously I think this might be the last time we talk about Daniel Ricciardo, as he has now left. But let's have a look back at his career. So he's had 258 Grand Prix. All right. What I want to know is how many wins. You can play at home as well. Let me know how many you get.
8.
Congratulations. How many podiums?
Holy shit. Um, 17.
32 podiums.
Wow.
Yeah. It's impressive, isn't it? Okay. How many points?
How many points has Daniel Ricciardo had in his career?
Yes.
What year was it the point system changed? Is it going to account for the... Because did he come into the sport in 2011, 12?
Yeah, it was very early.
It was... And I can't remember exactly when the point system changed.
Yeah.
I don't... Who did he race for when he came in? Why in my head am I thinking HRT?
Where is a bloody thing?
Surely you've just gone on his Wikipedia.
No, I have. I just, so So he came in, his debut as a Red Bull test drive in 2009 to 2011. Then he was HRT.
It was HRT.
HRT in 2011. Then Toro Rosso. I thought it was Toro Rosso. And then Red Bull from 2014 to 2018.
Yeah, because that was when we came into the new race. Yeah. But, okay, so he wouldn't have scored. I don't think, maybe he would have got a few points for Toro Rosso. But okay. when the hell did the points change come in?
I don't know.
Was it like 2012 or something?
Do you want me to Google it?
I'm going to assume that he didn't get any points at HRT.
When did points change?
I'm going to spitball and say that Danny Rick has accumulated 583 points in his career.
Okay, so firstly, in 2003, the FIA revised the structure to the top eight finishes of each race. Well, each Grand Prix winner tailed 8 points from 19 since 2010. The current system was introduced for 2010. Yeah.
Okay, so it would have been the whole time. Yeah.
So how many points did you say?
583.
Okay, this is going to stagger you. He got 1,329 really? Points.
To be fair, I think I always underestimate him. Actually, the Red Bull performances. Mm.
This next one shocked me. Okay, how many pole positions did Daniel Ricciardo have in his 258 Grand Prix?
14. No. 26.
3.
Oh. I went the wrong way.
He had 3.
Really?
That's mad.
Do you know what had me thinking? I was thinking the podiums.
Yeah. Well.
So I was like, okay, well, work backwards from there. Assume that like...
half it, yeah.
Well, assume that like he lost many of those positions to like Lewis or Nico. But wow, that is not a lot whatsoever.
No. Finally, how many fastest laps did he have?
Well, definitely one.
He definitely had one, yeah.
I can't imagine it was too many. I'm going to go 13.
17.
17.
17. So... some of the stats actually quite shocked me. I thought he had more pole positions.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised about how many points he got. But again...
The thing is, he has been in the sport for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I think I proper lowballed that one. But I think it's because my memory of him, like at McLaren, for example, is just like really shocking. Like, I can't imagine he scored many points there. Obviously, he's really not scored a lot of points at RB, but I know that's such a small fraction of his career. Renault, I know he actually didn't do too bad. And then the majority of his career were the Red Bull days where he would have been scoring consistently. Or he was scoring consistently. So, yeah, and this is the thing. I think it's quite interesting, like, the assessment of my take on his career. Danny Rick is a successful F1 driver. A very successful F1 driver, you know, 8 race wins is, you know, look at the list of race winners. Can we find like all-time race winners?
All-time race winners?
Yeah, as in like, you know, how many wins? I bet he's not like as far from the top as people think with 8 wins. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think like you say 8 wins in F1, it doesn't sound a lot. Actually, especially when you remember the era that he raced in. You know, he raced in an era where Mercedes absolutely dominated.
Yeah.
They had the best car by a long way. And, you know, maybe if he had stuck around at Red Bull, he'd have a few more under his belt. But where is Danny Rick on that list?
So I've got a list of drivers here, also wins by drivers.
Yeah.
So Daniel Ricciardo is number 39 on that list.
Right.
Which is mad.
And this is going back from the history, like the inception of Formula One.
This is from this is from Britain, 1950, to the Singapore Grand Prix.
And you see what I mean? So he's got eight race wins, is it?
Yeah. 8 race wins, yeah.
And he's 39th, did you say?
39th, yeah.
That's like...
He had more wins than Pablo Montoya, who had 7. Mark Webber had 9 race wins. Valtteri Bottas has more race wins with 10.
Even but that, again, that stat is mad.
Yeah. Let's just look at this a second, okay? So, okay. Number one, Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
Number two, Michael Schumacher. Mm-hmm. Who's number three with 61 race wins?
That could genuinely be Max Verstappen.
It is Max Verstappen.
Wow.
Which is mental.
That goes to show how good Max is, right?
Yeah, 100%. P4 with 53 wins.
53? Oh, God. I feel like I'm probably having to go back a little bit here. Who could have 50? Well, it's no one that's driving at the moment, obviously.
No.
Probably Seb?
Seb, yeah. Then you're looking, I mean, P5 with 51 wins is Alain Prost.
Yeah, I was going to say we must be moving into Senna Prost territory.
Senna is number 6 with 41 wins.
Yeah.
Number 7, Fernando Alonso with 32 wins. Then you're looking at Nigel Mansell, Jackie Stewart, Jim Clark, Niki Lauda. It's mad. You know, you've got Kimi Räikkönen. Damon Hill had 22 race wins. I didn't think he won that many, actually, to be fair.
He won a championship.
Well, yeah, he did. But obviously, there was less races.
Yeah. But doesn't it go to show you, and this is the point I want to make about Danny Ric, right? Don't just disrespect him because of sort of how his career has ended. Mm. You know, a lot of careers end this way. Him getting 8 wins in his career as an F1 driver is a huge achievement.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
The majority of drivers that come through F1 never get a win.
No. No, agree. I mean, when you're looking at this, David Coulthard had 13 wins. You've got Jenson Button, 19 wins. Mika Häkkinen, 20 wins.
Yeah, no. Mika Häkkinen's a 2-time world champion.
Yeah.
And Daniel Ricciardo's only got just less than half the wins.
You know, Nico Rosberg, 23 wins. But yeah, you look on this list, you know, okay, this stat here is going to blow your mind.
Is it going to blow
It's just blown my mind, okay? So we're saying Daniel Ricciardo has won 8 races. Can you tell me who has only won 7 races?
Can I tell you who has only won
7 races? I thought this guy has won a lot more than this.
Barrichello.
No. He still drives now.
He still drives now?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm just going through all the drivers in my head. I think the only... Charles Leclerc
so only has 7 race wins.
Danny Ric has more race wins than Charles Leclerc. If you ever need reminding to put some respect on that man's name.
Don't get me wrong, Charles Leclerc is still racing. But I thought he had more wins than that.
Yeah, but Charles Leclerc has had a competitive car for a lot longer than... Danny Ric has never truly had the best car. Charles Leclerc has had a period where he's had a very competitive car and, at times, the best car. 2022.
Yeah.
And 2019 when they had the illegal fuel line.
Did you think he had more?
I thought he had more, yeah. 100%.
That has actually blown my mind. If you knew that, you know, well done, but I just...
But Charles Leclerc is widely regarded as one of the best drivers on the grid.
Yeah.
By us included. He's got less wins than Danny Ric. Now, I'm not saying that means Danny Ric is better than him at this point in time, because he's clearly not, but just remember the respect that Danny Ric deserves for getting those 8 Formula One wins.
But guarantee you, this one won't shock you. Danny Ric has more race wins than Sergio Perez, which Sergio Perez has 6 race wins.
But that should shock people.
That should
right?
shock people. But it doesn't shock me.
They had a competitive car in 2021.
Yeah.
They're for the second half of the season, the best car in 2022. Yeah. Obviously, the first half, it was very closely contested with Ferrari. They had arguably the most dominant car ever in 2023. And for the first half of this season, they had probably the best car.
That's blown my mind. I generally thought Charles Leclerc had more race wins than 7.
Yeah, it is kind of mad.
Hmm. And down in 115th is Pierre Gasly and Esteban Ocon.
With 1.
With 1 race win.
But even so, 115th.
Yeah.
With 1 win.
Yeah. Carlos Sainz is tying currently with Lando Norris of 3 race wins.
And they were
67th and 68th.
All this is doing is backing up my point.
Yeah. Fair play, Danny Ric. Fair play. Yeah. Right, he's done well there. I think that's all the race news I have.
I think that is pretty much everything. Although, there is one final thing we should touch on. I sent you a little link yesterday.
Yeah, I don't have my phone.
So, there's a... What do you call it? Is it like an expert? Or not an expert. There's a word. Basically, it's a snippet from Günther Steiner's book that he has released.
Yeah.
And this, let me just say this more concisely. Sorry for wasting your time. Basically, in Günther Steiner's book, he has come out and said Hamilton would be an 8-time champion if Whiting was still alive. Charlie Whiting, legendary race director. He is obviously talking about the 2021 Abu Dhabi situation, which we no longer bring up. We're definitely over it and we're still not bitter. He said, this is the quote from the book, right? Wherever your loyalties lie with that one, and yes, I agree, it was amazing entertainment. From a regulations point of view, it was a shit show of biblical proportions. And regardless of what decision Charlie Whiting might have made, Michael Massey's position there would have been far less controversy and embarrassment. Charlie Whiting might have made in Michael Massey's... Let me read that again for you. This will make clipping it up easier. Wherever your loyalties lie with that one, and yes, I agree, it was amazing entertainment. From a regulations point of view, it was a shit show of biblical proportions. And regardless of what decision Charlie Whiting might have made in Michael Massey's position there, there would have been far less controversy and embarrassment. He then goes on to say, oh, fuck it. It's written like that. I'm not doing an impression. That is how it's written. Yeah. Okay. We all know that Charlie would have done. Had he been at the helm, Lewis would now be an 8-time world champion. So, doesn't that just eat you up inside?
We all know Hamilton should be an 8-time world champion. We're not.
Yes.
You know, we're not silly with that.
And Verstappen fans, you're probably going to be like, you're still crying over it. Yes, you would be too. If that was the flip side, right? If that was Max Verstappen in Lewis Hamilton's position, you'd be like, this is absolutely rigged just so Lewis can break Michael's record.
Yeah.
Well, our argument is the flip. We think it's rigged so Max can win.
Mm.
And, you know, there was so much pressure put on Michael Massey at that point, but I don't think he's excused from any abuse is probably a bit far, but like criticism. He should be so widely, he has been widely criticized for how he dealt with that race. He did cost Lewis an 8 world championship. Yeah. He did completely make a mockery of the sport. And he lost himself his job. He was shambolic that season.
I'm interested in years to come. You know, I'm sure in years to come, they'll sit down with him and go, talk us through that.
Yeah, but I'm not interested because he's going to have so many years to think of some dog shit excuse as to why it happened. Oh, they were putting... grow a backbone, mate. Like, the regulations are there in black and fucking white. You did everything in your power to get that race restarted, but wrongly.
Yeah.
That's not what the sport is about. You follow the regulations. It's not about having an entertaining last lap.
We always said, didn't we, there was two ways of doing it. You either finish the race behind the safety car, which is what the rules should have said. All cars should pass. They should be able to unlap themselves. Or you red flag it. You start it as a standing start. One lap of racing. Whoever wins. If Max went on to win, fair play to him. He won fairly because they're both on equal tyres. Fair play. And he's won the race.
The red flag rule is there to be used.
And he used it a lot last year.
He used it... last year.
2021.
Yeah, time flies. He was so trigger happy with the red flag. And that was kind of my first thought when that happened, red flag. The last thing I wanted was safety car. Mm. And then obviously safety car came out and it was handled completely wrong. But I just thought it was interesting that you've now got former team principal, Günther Steiner, one-day F1 legend, coming out and saying that. And it's like,
I can imagine there's a lot of people on the grid who completely have the same opinion as Günther Steiner.
Yeah, but doesn't that piss you off that, 100%. While they're in this position, no one has come out and said that is complete. George Russell was genuinely the... And Lewis Hamilton fans give him such a hard time, right? George Russell was the only man to come out and say this is absolutely incorrect.
Carlos Sainz also did.
Well, he didn't say it in the way that George Russell said it. No,
but he still highlighted that, actually, this is just wrong.
Yeah, but no one fundamentally called people out for this, absolute corruption, other than George Russell. So, Lewis Hamilton fans, next time you're giving Woody a hard time, remember who it was that was sticking up for your boy.
Yeah. No?
Our boy. I'm a Lewis fan.
Yeah. No, I agree. We're not over it. I don't think I'm ever going to get over this.
Nah, neither.
It's just mad, isn't it? The only sporting event I think I actually just can't genuinely get over.
Because it's pure corruption. Yeah.
Let us know. Are you over it yet? I know it's a few years on, but are you over it? Just finishing on other news, which has come out this morning. So, Jos Verstappen, once again, having a little dig at Christian Horner. Oh my God. What a surprise.
This guy loves being in the headlines. He does. Helmut Marko. Does he not know when to shut up?
No, he doesn't. So, as we touched on earlier, a lot of Red Bull staff are leaving. Adrian Newey, Jonathan Wheatley, and so on and so on. Jos Verstappen has come out and said, well, the team then say, oh, it doesn't matter. We have someone else who we can put in that position, but it's too many people now who decide to leave. Max gets questioned about it every time and so on. So, yeah, I think it's just not good what's happening at the moment. Horner has said on multiple occasions that Red Bull have enough strength and depth to cope with the departure of an individual. But, you know, Verstappen believes that he always glosses over it. And on track, things have not gone smoothly for Red Bull for a while now. And this is definitely something that is happening with inside the organisation that is causing this to actually go downhill. We've touched on that there is something internally which is not quite right.
I mean, it's vintage Verstappen behaviour.
Yeah.
Start crying as soon as the chips are down.
Yeah.
It's...
But not Max. Fair play. May I just say, with Max Verstappen, this year, all his post-race interviews, even when it's struggled recently, even like Singapore, and I know he finished P2, but...
Yeah, he really struggled that race, finishing P2.
Yeah, but this is a driver who's gone from winning week in, week out, to struggling pretty much every race weekend. He could be really pissed off, but he's actually coming out, and he's actually been quite...
Really? Hungry?
Okay, minus hungry.
Oh, I feel like it's a very Verstappen tactic to just throw your toys out the pram when things aren't going your way. You know, they had, after 2021, when he won his championship, came on the radio saying, let's do this forever. I love you guys.
Yeah.
2022, he won his second championship because they provided him with an unbelievable car. 2023, they made the car even better.
I love you guys. Can we continue doing this for the rest of our life?
He literally won almost every single race in the season. We said at the start of the season, 2024, the law of diminishing returns will come into play.
Yep.
Other teams are coming forward. We had seen McLaren take huge steps last year. It's not always possible to maintain that. And I think it's so easy for them to be like, to instantly go and criticize the team and blame everything on them, and rather than like actually like try and motivate them, yeah, rally them. And I'm sure behind closed doors, maybe it's different. He's not going in there like having to go at everyone. But I do feel like he's been really quick to come on the radio or in interviews, like publicly say things about like, oh, things are going wrong, blah, blah, blah. But like, not in necessarily a like a motivational way, more of a like criticizing sort of way.
And that can't really be good for morale, can it? Because you've got Jos Verstappen, who's literally in the press weekly slating Horner and everything Red Bull. And then he's in the garage all the time around these people who he's slated.
Yeah, I know. You're probably thinking like, fuck off.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, morning, how... Oh, get out of it.
Oh,
like,
not this guy. That's how you would feel.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, yeah. Like, it must be demoralising.
Oh, hi, Jos. You know, I saw you on the news the other day completely slating me. But, yeah, welcome. Come on in.
Yeah. Thanks for just shitting on my whole team. Appreciate that. It's not like I've worked my whole life to get here and I work like 16 hours a day. Never see my family because I'm always in a different country with your son, who's a four-time world champion. Soon to be, thanks to us. Yeah. You know, and his own driving ability, don't get me wrong. But he wasn't a world champion when the car wasn't that great, even though he was a great driver. So, yeah, it would fucking piss me off. I wouldn't speak to him. I just wouldn't.
But I think that's it. That is the news. And hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. As Luke touched on at the beginning of the podcast, you may see some changes over the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. Do check us out on all social media, TikTok, X, Twitter, whatever you call it. We are posting regularly. We are posting more now. And actually, we're recording this, which actually then we make clips, which is great. So, yeah. Do leave us a rating on Spotify. We do appreciate it. Apple Podcasts as well. And we'll be back next week, topping you up with some news, because we still don't have a race week next week.
Exactly.
Depressing. But have a good week, and we shall see you soon. Bye-bye.